Welcome to Ship It with AI. Today we're asking a focused question. What are the engineering challenges when integrating small language models directly into mobile apps? Quick hook. On-device models promise better privacy, lower latency, and offline capability, but they're constrained by CPU, memory, and battery, so the core trade-off is capability versus footprint. Jamie, can you give us a one-sentence summary of the less is more paper and the main technical claims?
The paper argues that shipping small LLMs on-device is viable, but requires a stack of choices, from model selection and aggressive compression, quantization, pruning, distillation, to runtime and kernel optimizations. And it backs that with experiments showing how those choices trade accuracy for latency, memory, and energy. The main technical claims are that careful compression plus hardware-aware runtimes can keep inference responsive on phones while accepting modest accuracy losses, and that end-to-end integration concerns, packaging, ABI, profiling, matter as much as the model itself.
Mark, that matches my experience. A concrete example is on-device smart compose or offline summarization inside a Node app. Users expect sub-100 millisecond suggestions, no cloud round trip, and minimal battery hit. In the field, we worry about worst-case memory spikes, thermal throttling, and diverse chipsets. Android devices with different NAPI support behave very differently than iPhones with the neural engine.
Exactly. Mobile is a distinct environment. Limited RAM, tight storage budgets, heterogeneous accelerators, and strict UX expectations for snappy responses. The paper frames this as engineering constraints layered on top of model design. You can't just port a server model and call it a day.
From a product standpoint, that means trade-offs. Do you ship a 2-gigabit model that's more capable but only works on high-end phones, or a 200-megabit distilled and quantized model that runs everywhere but misses subtle context? That suitcase versus carry-on analogy is useful for teams planning support and QA.
Listen for concrete numbers on quantization and latency impacts, and how operator fusion or memory layout changes cut peak RAM in practice.
And listen for practical red flags, thermal limits, tail latency, and the testing strategies teams use to catch edge cases on a fragmented device fleet.
All right, deep dive time. Jamie, start us off. When the paper compares small architectures versus distilled models for on-device use, what are the practical differences we should understand?
Good place to start. Small architectures are models designed from the ground up to be lightweight, fewer layers, smaller hidden sizes, while distilled models are compressed versions of larger models trained to mimic their outputs. In practice, distilled models often preserve more of the teacher's behavior for a given size, but architecting a small model can be cheaper at inference because it's simpler and sometimes more cache-friendly.
And from a shipping standpoint, that matters. A distilled 200-megabyte model that behaves like a 1-gigabyte server model is attractive, but it can hide brittle behavior. Edge cases where the distillation didn't capture rare tokens or specific phrasing. Small architectures can be more predictable in worst-case memory because you control the topology.
Jamie, the paper benchmarks a lot of compression techniques. Can you walk us through quantization, pruning, and distillation with concrete trade-offs and numbers?
Sure. Quantization is lowering numeric precision. 8-bit is common and typically yields near-native accuracy with roughly 2x memory savings versus 16-bit floats. 4-bit quantization can get you close to 4x reduction, but accuracy drops can be larger. Think small, single-digit percentage increases in perplexity, sometimes more depending on layer-sensitive quantization. Pruning removes weights. It lowers model size and compute, but can require sparse kernels to get latency wins. Distillation trains a smaller model to mimic a larger one. It often gives the best accuracy for size ratio, but requires a lot of fine-tuning data and careful temperature teacher selection.
Practically, we saw 8-bit quantization cut peak RAM and bring latency down by 30 to 50% on CPU-only paths because int8 gem kernels are faster on Neon. But 4-bit required new kernel implementations and sometimes actually increased tail latency on older devices due to extra unpacking work. so the device fleet matters.
You mentioned kernels and Neon. Let's unpack runtime optimizations. Jamie, what are the key runtime tricks teams use to make these models run smoothly on phones?
Several layers. Operator fusion to reduce memory traffic. Fusing attention plus projection can cut transient buffers. Memory layout optimizations. Choosing contiguous layouts matching the kernel to avoid copies. Careful batching strategy. Interactive features usually use batch size 1, so you optimize for latency, not throughput. And selecting hardware-specific kernels. Neon optimized Gem for many Android CPUs, Apple Neural Engine via Core ML for iPhones, and using NAPI delegates when available. Also, kernel-level quantized operators and fused attention kernels give big wins.
And don't forget memory reclamation patterns. On Android, we saw thermal throttling when peak allocations hit the OS memory limit, reducing peak working set via layout changes or streaming weight loading avoided long GC pauses and sustained performance. A useful analogy is suitcase versus carry-on. You can fit more in the suitcase, but you might not be able to lift it onto the plane without a helper. Peak memory is that helper.
That's a great analogy. How do these choices translate into user-facing numbers, latency, battery, and accuracy? Give us example scenarios like autocomplete or voice assistance.
For an autocomplete feature, the paper and our own testing show targets under 100 milliseconds for suggestions. 8-bit quantized models on modern mid-range phones hit 40 to 120 milliseconds per token. 4-bit can reduce compute time further, but risks instability. For a voice assistant doing small summarization, you might accept 300 to 500 milliseconds if offline. Battery cost depends on whether you use the NPU. NPU inference can be 2 to 5x more energy efficient than CPU, but only if supported and implemented well. Accuracy-wise, distillation plus 8-bit quant gives near-cloud quality for many tasks, but complex reasoning tasks still lag.
And the tail matters. If 95th percentile latency jumps because of a thermal-throttled core, users notice. So we run on-device profiling across representative devices, measure 50th, 95th, 99th percentiles, and simulate worst-case backgrounds like many apps and low battery to catch regressions before rollout.
Speaking of rollout, walk me through the integration pipeline. How do teams package models and test them across iOS and Android?
Packaging often uses platform-native formats, Core ML, ML model for Apple, TF Lite, or vendor-specific flat buffers for Android, or a cross-platform runtime like ONNX with per-platform delegates. ABI stability matters. Changing operator shapes can break a shipped runtime. Teams often produce per-platform bundles with metadata for quantization, plus delta updates so you don't re-download gigabytes. A/B testing on-device is done by shipping multiple model variants and routing a percentage of inference traffic locally while collecting anonymized telemetry.
Important caveat, telemetry collection must be privacy-preserving. We use local differential privacy or aggregate-only metrics to track errors and latency. Also, cross-platform differences can be surprising. An operator that's fast on Apple Neural Engine may be slow on a Qualcomm NPU if there's no optimized delegate, so we maintain device-specific fallbacks and feature gates.
Before we wrap this segment, what does the paper recommend for experimentation and evaluation to ensure real-world robustness?
They recommend a three-pronged approach: offline benchmarks for accuracy and simulated latency, on-device profiling across a representative matrix of devices for real latency and memory, and focused tail case testing, long dialogues, rare tokens, background load, to catch failure modes. Also, human-in-the-loop perceptual testing to tie latency accuracy numbers to real UX impact.
And operationally, add staged rollouts with telemetry gates, rollback paths, and monitoring for regressions like increased retries or battery drain. That combination is what turns a lab result into a reliable product experience.
Let's shift to real-world impact. What concrete privacy benefits do on-device models provide? And are there any privacy trade-offs teams should watch for?
On-device keeps user data local, avoiding server round trips, and reducing surface for leaks. Good for private summarization, drafts, health notes. The trade-offs are that you still need safe telemetry and update channels. Use signed models and privacy-preserving telemetry so local data never has to be shipped to a backend.
On updates and security, model signing and integrity checks are essential so attackers can't push malicious weights. Delta updates and small patch bundles make distribution feasible, and while federated learning can personalize models without raw data leaving devices, it adds complexity and opens attack surfaces like poisoning if you don't guard aggregation.
Model drift is inevitable. Simple strategies work best. Periodic centralized retraining on aggregated anonymized signals, plus small delta pushes for fixes. Federated approaches help personalization but need careful validation, often a hybrid. Local personalization plus occasional server-side consolidation balances freshness and safety.
From a product standpoint, decide when to offload. Heavy reasoning, large context summarization, or multimodal fusion usually stay in the cloud. Hybrid architectures, a small local model for instant replies and a cloud fallback for complex queries, give the best UX while containing cost and maintenance.
Monitoring is harder with edge models. How should teams instrument on-device behavior while keeping privacy intact?
Design telemetry to be aggregate-only and privacy-preserving. Local counters with differential privacy, secure aggregation for device-level metrics, and sample-based traces for deep diagnostics. Track latency percentiles, memory spikes, battery impact, and feature-specific failure rates, and gate rollouts on those signals.
Also, think about accessibility and UX. Responsiveness and offline-first behavior often matter more than tiny accuracy gains. Looking forward, stronger NPUs, unified runtimes, and standardized model formats would simplify cross-platform shipping and unlock new use cases like private tutoring, personal context-aware assistance, and richer offline creativity tools.
Let's close with concise takeaways, one sentence each. Jamie, your takeaway? Also, before we go, please subscribe or leave a comment, and here's a question for listeners to ponder. As devices become more capable, how should teams balance local capability versus the operational simplicity of cloud services?
Design for constraints first. Optimize for user-perceived latency, safety, and upgradability. Then add capability where it clearly improves the UX.
Ship pragmatic hybrids, local models for privacy and immediacy, cloud for heavyweight tasks with robust monitoring and secure update paths.
On-device LLMs move the challenge from pure model research into systems engineering and product trade-offs. To finish, a quick reminder, the podcast is available on Spotify. Search for Ship It with AI. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.